Yeah, this year's on the a little bit on the hopefully we'll gain a little insight into the personality of Avraham Avinu and what he was and the ideas that he discovered. You see, the thing is that the truth of the matter is that the concept of B'nai Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov means that we should feel a certain closeness to the Avos. You should feel a closeness to Avram Avinu. But you can't feel the closeness just simply because certain events occur to him. It doesn't bring closeness to the person. The closeness to the person is only possible if there's something which is part of your essence that you could relate to the essence of the other person. So unless you really understand the personality, have some insight into the personality of Avraham Avinu, there's no relationship. You can't really have any relationship. Let's take a look at the Rambam Hilchos Avodas Kochavim in the beginning. So the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says, "Bimei Enosh Tov Bnei Adam Tos Gedola." They committed a terrible error. V'nivaro Atza Aschach Meos Ador V'Enosh Atzma Manato Amoya. They made a terrible mistake. This was their mistake. They said like this. Since God created stars and heavenly bodies to control the world, and he placed them up high, and he gave them a certain respect, and they are the servants that serve before God. So they said that it is fitting to praise them and to give them cover, give them honor. And this is the will of God. Okay, the will of God is that we should praise those who he has elevated. Just like a king, that he wants to praise those who are... he expects the people to praise those who are... before him, who are his servants. And this is the honor for the Melech. He says, since, as soon as this idea occurred to them, they began constructing temples and bringing sacrifices and praising and bowing down to the heavenly bodies. And this was the essence of their worship. And that's those who really had a knowledge of the worship. In other words, the ones that the priests, this is what they used to say. They wouldn't say there is no God, that the star is a God. They say they recognize God, had a recognition of God. But the only thing is they said that... That you should praise the servants that he created. Okay? And then the Rambam quotes, he says, Hushi Yirmiyo Omer. Yirmiyo says, Milo Yiroch Lamalach Agoyim. Who doesn't fear God? Ki lecho yaosa, ki lecho chachme agoyim v'vachol malchuso me'en kamocha. Uv'achas yiv'aru v'yichsulu. Mosa avolim eitzu. Kloma, akol yodim sha'atuhu.
He says they really recognize
God, but the only mistake is that they only commit one error, and that error is that they think that God wants them to worship his servants, okay, the heavenly bodies. Okay. Yes.
Is it only the heavenly bodies? I mean, what about things on the earth?
No. The heavenly bodies. This is essentially the way it was. Heavenly bodies. Okay. Now, the thing is like this. One thing we have to understand is like this. First of all, it's very strange that Yirmiyo should say that all the goyim recognize God. Milo Yerocha Melcha Goyim is a very... What do you mean? I mean, the Ode Vadazar recognize God. And secondly, we have to understand what it means when it says that, because Yirmiyahu says, Mi lo yirocha melech hagoyim. Ki lecho yaasa. What is Yirmiyahu know we're talking about? He's talking about that early period, Yimei Enosh. He's talking in his time. And the Ram says later in his time, Achasharchu Ayyamim, Amdu Bivnei Adam Nevi Sheker, Vamur Shekel Siv Vamalem, Ivdu Kochov Ploni, Okolokochov Mikrivalhem Nishulo. He says, Madilhem, Tsura Shaboda Maliba Vama Zuhi Tsura Sakochov. Ploni Shehu Bin Huasa, Vishilu Alder Zu, Lasa Tsuros Becholos. He says then it started to degenerate. They still, once they had the tzura, so they started to say that the tzura itself has power. You see, the kohanim omrim lahem shebaavodazu tarbu v'tatzlichu. Yeah, that if you do this, you'll have a lot of atzlocha. Vasu kach v'kach v'al tasu kach v'kach. Yep. V'eschilu kozum achem lamod v'loma shakochav atzmo ha'galgol ha'malach diberi mo'em. Then they started to say that they got nevuah from the kochav itself. And then he says, v'pashadav z'bachol ha'olam lavod ha'tzuras v'avodas mishuna zu mizu l'hakriv l'hem l'shtachavos. V'kivin shachayim l'shtakach Hashem ha'nechbad v'anora m'pi kol ha'yakum v'midaitom v'lo kiru v'nimtsu kol ha'am ha'oretz ha'noshim v'aktanem einim yodim el ha'tzura sh'eleitz v'sh'eleven. So the question is degenerated. So Yirmiyahu was after that time. So what is Yirmiyahu saying that Milo Yerocha Melech Goyim Ki Lecha Yosef Chochach Me'agam Chom Chusum Ein Kamocha? The Ram says degenerated later, and they forgot about God. So what does Yirmiyahu Hanavi mean? I mean, Yirmiyahu Hanavi is speaking about the Milo Yerocha Melech Goyim. He's talking about everybody. Ki Lecham Chusum Ein Kamocha means everybody. What kind of a concept is this? Moreover, what is the? In other words, he's not talking about the time of Enosh. He's talking about in his time. Yirmiyahu's time was after the degeneration. If you could say they weren't so degenerated, but you can't say Milo Yerocha Melech Hagayim. I mean, that was in time of Yirmiyahu. The Avodah Zarah went back to the early Avodah Zarah, a very high level. Yeah. Secondly, what does he mean when he says? You have to understand really, what's such hevel about it? What's really such hevel? I mean, they say that they recognize God. As a matter of fact, they recognize Achdus Hashem. The Rambam says in the Mora, the Rambam says if a person believes that God has emotions, he says that person is worse than the early Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Why? Because the early Ovdei Avodah Zarah recognized Achdus Hashem. The only mistake they made was with regard to how God wants people to worship. But with regard to God Himself, they didn't make any mistake. But if a person thinks that God has emotions, he says then he's denying Achdus Hashem, and he's worse than the early Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So, what really was so terrible? What was such a terrible thing? And the Rambam considers it a terrible thing. Toz gadol b'mei enosh tov b'nei adam toz gadol v'nivaro atzas chachmeyos ador v'enosh atzma menatov moya. And then later he says, "Shemadam shezeh hevel ritzon chahu." At the end of the halacha, hevel, it's bad, terrible thing. What's so terrible? I mean, really, what is so terrible about it? Okay. Now let's take a look a little further in halacha gimel. The Rambam talks about Avraham Avinu says, "Kivan shenigmal eisan zeh, hischil l'shotei b'daito." He started to think, "Vu cotton is a little boy." V'hischil lachshav b'yom balayla. V'yatmiya heyach efshishia galgal zeh noig tam v'lo yilam manig. He was thinking about what's the cause of different all the different things that he observed in the heavens and the around him. So he started to think, what's responsible for the, what is the causative chain involved? And then it says, he had no teacher, nobody was telling him anything, nobody told him anything, but he was sunken in Or Kasdan between the Ovdei Kochavim, Hatipshim, V'Oviv V'Ima V'Cholam Ovdei Kochavim, His father and his mother, they all served the idols, and he served them with them. And meantime, his mind was being agitated, and he started to understand until he understood Achehisig Derech Hamas. Until he understood Derech Hamas. Vehevin Kavat Tzedek. And he understood the right way. Mitfunaso Anachona. Viyoda Sheyesham Eloka Echod Vehu Manig Agalgo Vehu Borar Kol Vein Bechol Anemtsa Lekachutz Mimeno. Okay, fine. Then he says like this. He says, Viyoda Shekol Ha'olam Toen. He understood everybody's making a mistake. And it says, V'dovar shegoram lohem litos. What caused them to make a mistake? Ze she'ovdim es ha'kochovim ves ha'tsuros ad she'ovad ha'emes midaitam. So he understood the whole history. Right? He saw that he understood the history. The history of the degeneration of the Avodah Zarah. But what's difficult is like this. I mean, if he knew the history already before, if he knew the Rambam says that once it degenerated, they didn't know, they forgot already that the old history. That's what the Rambam has before. So if they forgot the old history, and the Rambam says that nobody taught him, so he wouldn't know the original. How would he know that caused the Avodah Zarah? Because originally that there was an original concept which was degenerated. Nobody ever taught him. So all he would know would be what he finds immediately. So he could know that it's not true, but he wouldn't know the cause of their mistake. The cause of the mistake is it was a historical thing, because originally Enosh made the mistake, and then they started to, then it started to get worse, then they forgot that there's a God altogether, and they started to believe actually in the magical powers of the object that they designated as a God. Right? That's how it degenerated. Now, he could understand that object is not a God. He could figure it out. But he can't. How is he going to know the reason how the whole history took place? In other words, how originally they recognized God, and then they it got worse, and then finally they forgot that there's a God altogether. And how would he know this? If he knew this, so then he had somebody to teach him, he'd understand the true idea. And they would also. The Rambam says that he knew the reason, the cause. He says, V'yada shekol olam toim, v'dovar shegoram lahem litos, ze she'ovdim es ha'kochovim ves ha'tsuros, ad she'ovar ha'emes midaitam. How do you know that? You see? If he knew that, so he knew the history, so he had somebody to teach him, so he'd know the true idea, so he didn't figure it out himself anymore. Right? It's a contradiction. Mm-hmm. Then the Rambam says, Uben Aboyim Shona Hikir Avram Esboro. When he was 40 years old, he recognized God. The Ravid says, Am Avram Yesha Goda Ben Shaloshonim. Shenemar Ekev Ashashom Avram Bakoli Minyan Ekev. Okay. So the minyan, you know what it means by minyan ekev? Minyan ekev, ekev comes out to 172. And really Avram lived to be 175. So it says, so the pasuk says, ekev ashashama Avram bakoli. So he listened to my call for 172 out of 175 years. So you see, he was 3 years old that he was Makir Esbara. That's what the matter says. Okay. So, yeah. The question is the Machloek is the Rambam and the Medrash. That's not such a big problem, because a lot of Medrashim the Rambam doesn't accept literally. And he has his own explanation. But what we have to understand in the Rambam is, why really did it take till 40? And why did it take till 40 years? I mean, it's a very, logical proof. Really, it's a logical proof. It came to the realization. It's very hard to say that a person worked out a logical proof. He didn't work it out till he was 40 years old. I mean, the way the Rambam describes it, it should be something that should work out at the time of the strength of his prime, at the younger age. You see, for instance, not that you can mention 100% proof, but most breakthroughs in science happen to people at young ages. 20s, early 20s. You see. I mean, why did it take till 40? Why did it take till 40? On the other hand, the Medrash seems to be, too young, 3 years old.
It's a little
too much. It's a little too much already.
Great. Yeah. Another sheep.
Yeah. So the thing is like this. I'd like to answer these questions. Okay, let's go back to the first question. What was really such a terrible mistake that they made? Where is the mistake? The mistake is like this. The mistake is that they said v'zeo ratzon akel baruch hu legadol lechabed mi shegidlo v'chibdo kimo shehamelech rotze lechabed ha'omdim lefonov. You see? V'zeo kvod hashemelech. The mistake was like this. The mistake was that they considered God like a king. That was the mistake. That's the mistake. I mean, therein lies the error, that analogy. What is the mistake in the analogy? The mistake in the analogy is...
Personification.
The mistake in the analogy is that they thought that God, just like a king, wants covet from his subjects... So God also benefits from man's honor. You see, that's what they thought. In other words, the mistake that they made was the toss they made was that they projected onto God a human type of motivation, and they thought that man, when man worships God, God likes this. See, God wants this. So therefore they said, if that's the case, that God gains from it, so then we should really serve him like a melech. And he'll be happy, it's more honor, more dignified, not to go directly to the melech. See, if God doesn't gain from it, so then I mean, naturally the most logical thing is that you should relate to God, he's the source of the universe. But if you say that God gains like a melech does, so then you have to set up a whole system. You shouldn't go directly to the melech, because that's not the kvod shel melech. The mistake lies in the fact that they drew this analogy, that God wants and God needs, God gains something from their worship. See, we say there's a tefillah that you say on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, Nila. It says, Atav Delta Enesh Mirosh, Ki miyom alecho ma miyom alecho matifo v'im yitzdak ma yitn loch. That's what the tefillah says. The Rambam quotes this tefillah. The tefillah says that if v'im yitzdak, if man does, it's from Eiv really. V'im yitzdak ma yitn loch. If man is a tzaddik, what does he give God? God doesn't gain anything from it. So God doesn't look down at people and wait for them to praise him or to pray to him or to bow down to him because he's waiting for this honor. See, that's anthropomorphism, really. That's anthropomorphic. The mistake was that they projected onto God an anthropomorphic feature. That was the first anthropomorphic feature they projected onto God. That was the mistake. Now from there, once that happened, it started to degenerate. Why did it start to degenerate? Because the truth of the matter is that there is a part, this part of man which projects onto God, this the anthropomorphic features, stems from a primitive part of man's nature. An infantile and primitive part of man's nature, which wants to be catered to. And that's really the source of Avodah Zarah. Now, once they gave in, not that they gave in as a concession, but once they gave in to their own nature, and they projected onto God one anthropomorphic feature, then the other part of their primitive minds started to distort it further, because they start to cater to the primitive needs. You see, then the ultimate primitive satisfaction is that the primitive mind wants something which is right in front of it. That it could recognized as a God and a deity and has power and he has total control. And then he's safe. You see? That's what he really wants. That's the ultimate objective of the primitive mind. And that's what it was reduced to. But the process followed naturally. It's a natural process because once one primitive element was projected onto God, then other elements started until finally it degenerated to the point where the concept, the abstract concept of God was lost. You see? Now the thing is like this. When Avraham Avinu made his discoveries, it wasn't just, see the way the Rambam describes that he was Vu Avinu Mohem and Hischila Shotet Bedaito. Shotet Bedaito. And Velo Yelom Alame Velo Motia Dovar Mushkabor Kazdim of the Chavim. And who over the mom the libo meshotet umaven ache hisig derech emes. You see, the thing is like this. Avraham Avinu had to do two things really. It wasn't enough, since Avraham Avinu was mushkan or kazdim, he himself was raised that way, so you have to understand that he must have partaken of those. He was raised with the primitive emotions, so he himself had to be influenced and had to partake of those same emotions that the people that's around him had. And he had those emotions. Hu Oved Imam, the Rambam says. Why does Rambam mention Hu Oved Imam? You think Rambam will leave that? Why doesn't he mention Hu Oved Imam? Now, Hu Oved Imam means that he had the same, he was also taken in by the emotions. He also had those same emotions. But the only thing is, he was the one difference. He was Mishotet Bedaito. His mind was agitated. What started to agitate him? So the Rambam says, Heyacha Galgal Sovev, he was agitated by reality. Avraham Avinu was a person who was Mushka Bor Kazdim, a youngster, a young boy, you know, Kazdim, who was motivated by all the same primitive emotions, but there was one thing. Reality started to agitate his mind. Started to move him. Then what he did was, once the reality started to move him, so he started to understand more about reality. And there were really two areas that he had to cover. In order to really be perfected, there were two areas he had to cover. One was he had to deal with reality, understanding reality. Not the way the primitive mind understands reality, because to the primitive mind everything is supernatural. See? There's no chukiyat teva. There's no system of laws. There's nothing. It's just everything is just magical, magic, superstition. So he had to break away from that, and he had to recognize that really there's this chachma, tremendous chachma in the world, and ultimately there's a source to that chachma. But that God is a different kind of a God than they have in mind. It's a different kind of a God. It's a God that is the source of chachma. It's not the primitive God that's a source of magic and superstition. You see, it's a different kind of a concept of a God. It's a God who created the universe, a God who created Chukei HaTeva. There's a source. The source has to be a different type of a concept of God. But in order for Avraham Avinu to fully understand this concept of God, he also had to understand the primitive emotions that were in himself. He had to understand that, because without making progress in the direction of knowledge of the primitive emotions that he was subject to, and he was subject to, look, see the Rambam says, who are you? He had to break away from the primitive emotions. How did he do it? He was only able to do it through an understanding, through following the reality principle that he saw, that little ray of reality that was shining through to his soul. He was able to take that and was able to use that to understand and to shed light on the other part of his nature, so that he'd be able to understand his own primitive emotions. And as he understood his own primitive emotions and removed them, he was able to understand more, to be in line with the ideas of reality. It really was two subjects that he was studying at the same time. The one was knowledge, reality, and the other one was knowledge of the self. He had to have the knowledge of the self. Now, actually, Avraham Avinu was the first person. That's why Yisalech Lefonei Veyei Summon. One time, what does it mean? What kind of a tzivus that heyei tamim? Heyei tamim. What do you mean heyei tamim? Heyei tamim means that his whole personality was in line with reality. That's heyei tamim. The person, there was no dichotomy. Now, how did he arrive at that? The only way he was able to arrive at that was through self-knowledge. He was the first man that ever understood, he's the first born human being that understood the human psyche. Now, that's why the Rambam says that once he understood the human psyche, you see, then he was able to comprehend what happened from the time of Adam HaRishon. How did such a thing take place? So he understood not through history. He understood through knowledge how a person's nature is to project onto God certain anthropomorphic features, and how one feature leads to another, and how eventually the whole thing, the emotions take over until the primitive is in total control. And he recognized that from Adam HaRishon must have had the true idea. So what happened over here? There's only one possibility. It must have been a step-by-step process. And he knew, knowing the human mind, he was able to know what the steps in this process are and how they take place, you see. So his knowledge of history was really not a knowledge of, not a historical knowledge. It was a knowledge based upon his understanding of human nature. That's the way he knew it, you see. The reason why he knew that it had to be a degenerative process was because he knew there had to be an Adam HaRishon. And Adam HaRishon was created by God, would definitely have the true idea. You see? So therefore, it had to be a process of degeneration. See? That's how he knew. He knew his whole history from the knowledge of himself. It was a different kind of history. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Now, let's understand the... So that explains, really... You see, actually, the Medrash and the Rambam, I don't think it's a machlekes. What it means is... The Rambam says he was a young boy, was Meshotet Bedaito, so the Medrash says 3 years old. Yeah, that's true. That he was very brilliant, and even as a youngster of 3 years old, causality, the idea of causality started to agitate him. He was a tremendous genius, there's no question about that. Like if you read about the Vilna Gaon, you see different things. I mean, a certain tremendous genius, even at a young age. Vilna Gaon was 1 year old, he made a bracha. He's 3 years old, he started thinking already. It means that the thinking process began at the age of three. That's when the thinking process began. But the only thing is that why did it take, and it was, what does it mean when he was 40? When he was 40 was when the process was completed. See, when he was 40, the process was completed. That's what it says, Akev. Akev means the first 3 years it was impossible, it was simply a child. Just the instinctual. But where did the intelligence start to come into the picture? After the age of three. And however, why did it take till he was 40? It took till he was 40 because it was more than just a logical proof. It was a logical proof, but the logical proof had to have an effect, had to bring his whole makeup in line with the logical proof. That took many years until he was able to uproot the primitive emotions and remove them completely, so that his realization of God was a total realization. All his emotions were in line with the realization. There was nothing that was standing in the way. So his whole psyche was in line with that realization. That can't be done at an early age. That takes time. That takes a time for a person to gain knowledge and to ponder and to understand and to make changes in his nature. See, Avraham Avinu changed himself so that he's in line with the ideas. That's what Avraham says, Ben Arboim Shana. Ben Arboim Labina. See, Ben Arboim Labina. Ben Arboim, apparently, why is Ben Arboim Labina? Even though a person can be brilliant, the scientists say that the mind is per se, actually, intelligence actually is even greater at an earlier age. Not very much greater in people who continue to think, but there is a point where it peaks. And it peaks in the early years, late teens, early 20s. So, but what is it? Why does it say Ben Arboim Labina? Because Ben Arboim Labina is, it's true that that one mechanism may peak at that time, but the rest of the personality is not in line with it. So that's not really Bina. Bina is where the rest of the, yeah, it could be brilliant. You say, give him a problem, he could work out a problem fantastically. But in terms of living life, that's not going to help much. Because living life, what good is it if a person has an abstract idea, but has nothing to do with his life? His life isn't in line with the thoughts. So Ben Aboyim Hikir is borrowed, the Rambam says, because Ben Aboyim Labina, when he reached that age, that's when he was totally an intellect. His whole psyche, everything was in line with the Chachma. Now we can understand what the Rambam means when he says Hushi Yemiyah. Interesting thing, what the Rambam says about Yemiyah. That's the last question. Rambam says Yemiyah says Milo Yirocha Melech Hagoyim Ki Lecha Yasa. What does it mean, really? Milo Yirocha Melech Hagoyim. The thing is like this, that the truth of the matter is that in the human personality there is a nucleus. There is a small nucleus of truth, even in the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and that is the recognition of causality. See, the recognition of causality. Causality is something which is what the philosophers call a priori knowledge. In other words, it's in the soul. So the truth of the matter is, even the most primitive Avodah Zarah, if you take a look, you'll see that they have an idea of a source for the thing, the world that they see. That idea is really comes from Tzelem Elokim. See, it's an interesting thing that David Hume said that causality, he says, how could causality be such a sophisticated concept, scientific concept, if the youngest child has it? The child learns, first thing he learns, put you in the fire, hurts, takes away. The answer is it's true. It's a priori knowledge. That's a concept which is embedded in the Tzelem Elokim. That's a part of Tzelem Elokim. It's true, it's real. But it's something which is there from early youth, because it's part of the soul. Now, that's what Yirmiyahu HaNavi meant. He said like this. He said, Milo Yirocha Melech Hagoyim. It means that man really in his soul has the idea of causality, and that there's an ultimate creator. Ba'achas Yiskolu means, however, the emotional side, the primitive side, takes over and warps the whole thing. That's what Yirmiyahu HaNavi was discussing, the idea of Avodah Zarah. And he was saying that the truth of the matter is that this concept of a Borei Olam, of a source for the universe, is something which is a basic concept of causality. And even primitive Avodah Zarah recognized has to be a source. The only thing is that the one mistake they make is that they project the anthropomorphic features onto God. Once they do that, then they just project their own emotions onto reality, and they distort the whole reality. You see, that's what Yirmiyahu HaNavi meant, the same concept that Avraham Avinu really discovered. That's what he didn't mean to say. Yirmiyahu HaNavi wasn't referring to the early Avodah Zarah or the later. He was referring to the general idea that man has, even of the Avodah Zarah, have in themselves a spark of the Tzelem Elokim. The idea of causality, the idea that there is a source. The only thing is, they project, after that idea, they project primitive emotions onto it, they distort the whole concept, and they lose the idea of God.
Right.
The thing is, in other words, once they project their crazy emotions onto, then they lose all reality. Then there's no more reality. Then it's completely lost. Yeah. On the contrary, once a person recognizes that the whole avodas Hashem is for himself, l'man yitav l'cho, the Torah says, it's for your benefit. It's not for God's benefit. Then naturally, what the right thing would be, God's you can't say God's objective in creation, but God's will is that man should have the true, or should be as close as possible to reality, not the Misharsim. Misharsim is a distance. A Melech makes a distance between himself and the people because he wants to increase his honor and his personal covet. But on the contrary, what God's will is that we should be as close to reality and as close to Him as possible. So no intermediary. An intermediary is a barrier. God wants man to gain the fullest, so he should be, so he should be as close as possible to God. So it can only be directly with God. The fact that the Chazal maintains, somebody asked a question, how do you know Adam Rishon was perfect? The Chazal always say, Yitzir Kapav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adam Rishon was the most perfected being. Had to be that way. And Avraham Avinu knew, we understood that it has to be that way. What the proof is something else. The question was raised, what was the emotion that set them off to do this? The emotion, you see, the person, I'll just give you in general. A person projects onto reality anthropomorphic features because it comes from his childhood. So he doesn't grow up. In other words, in the childhood, his parents, the impressions of the parents are left with him. And he tries to recreate a world in which he is really a child. See, that's what he tries to recreate, restructure that way. So he starts projecting personalities as a child. He had his parents. He starts projecting human elements onto God. There's another novi that speaks about that. I one time spoke about that, about how the novi says that behind the avodah zarah is a dmus adam. So the novi says. So there's Dmus Adam behind there. In the back of that person's mind, there's Dmus Adam. So therefore, what happened, I just wanted to mention, as we started off, when a person develops and gains a knowledge of Torah, knowledge of Chachmah, and he recognizes in himself, he changes, and he sees himself changing, and he reaches, he lives according to the ideas, then he can have an appreciation for what Avraham Avinu did for us.
Yeah. There can only be an essential relationship between us and Avraham Avinu if we partake to a degree of the same essence that was his essence, and if we perceive what his essence was. And the only way we could do that is through understanding his ideas. Then whatever progress we make, we always have to reflect. We'll always reflect back to Avraham Avinu.
Why? Well, no.
That's not from Bristol.
The idea of Avram, I mean, it's important to mention the idea of Avram me'ever, kol olam me'ever echad, Avram me'ever acher, doesn't just mean that he was able to fight the whole world. It means that he was able, what was he able to do really? He was able to discover within himself a certain element that is the pure, he was able to recognize that this is the pure element in man. And he saw that the only thing that a person could do is to follow that element. That's the element of reality. Once he saw that, then simply, most people, the reality principle is dependent upon what people think. People warp the reality principle. If people think a certain way, so you see that others do it that way, so then you're affected. Your reality principle is warped. He was able to recognize that the only thing you can listen to is the reality principle. And no emotional, without any emotional ramifications. That's why simply whatever the world did had played no role. It wasn't really courage in terms of fighting the world. There was no battle. It was simply that this is the principle of reality. And nothing else can play any role in determining how a person, what a person's existence, what the nature of a person's existence is.
That's good.
These mistakes that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah made are really, since they come from the unconscious part of man, they come from man's buried primitive emotions, so you understand that even though we give them a logical structure when we write about the history of them, but they have a tendency to be more it's more quantitative, in other words, like they express themselves in quantitative terms than qualitative terms. But when you write the history of of course you have to discuss it in qualitative terms, but actually experientially they exist more in a quantitative way, like they slip through. I mean, somebody didn't wake up in the morning and say that God is a melech one day. I mean, these things slip through slowly, they develop slowly until they reach a certain point. That what the Rambam is doing, the Rambam is showing you the basic headings, you know what I mean, that they reached, but it didn't happen in one shot. I mean, it was something which which slowly a person does without realizing, because he's catering to a certain part of his nature.
There's one more point, maybe.
Yeah, there's one more point. The Rambam says that Avram Avinu was able to, after that, the Rambam says that he was able to Kivan Shikir V'yoda. Yeah, see what he says? Ram says, Kivan Shikir V'yoda Hischil Lahashiv Chuvos Al B'nei Or Kazdim V'larach Dinimon V'loma She'en Zeder Chemes She'atem Hochem Ba V'shibat Slom Hischil Adi Lom She'en Roi Lavad Ela Lelaka Olam V'lo Roi Lishtachos V'lach V'l Nasech K'dei She'yakiru Kol Abru Abuan. Why was Avram Avinu did that? Why Shane Waver also had the Masorah, the true Masorah? Why was Avram Avinu the one that did it? The answer is, first of all, that Avram Avinu, I mean, of course, Avas Hashem, but they all said Avas Hashem. The reason is because he was the only one who was able to do it. Because since he undid his own primitive emotions, so he knew precisely how the person's affected by these things. That's why he was Hischel Arachim on Din. He was able to show them, hey, one second, this emotion, look at it this way, see what this is doing? This is not real. And he was able to argue with them and show them the emotions because he himself had undone it himself. They shame they ever couldn't do it because they didn't have any part of this. True, they're philosophers, they had the true philosophy, but it was just an abstract. They didn't have the knowledge of this of their own psyche. See? That's the difference.
That's how they could.
Before going on with the Noach, Shir Rebbe continues with a side point from Lech Lecha, Pasuk Vayigra Av Bari.
Yeah, Vayis Avram Ocho So Negba. So God told Avram to leave the land that he was at in Haran, right? Leave Haran. First is Orkastan, then he went to Haran, and then he told him to go to Eretz, right? Okay. So interesting pasuk. Pasuk says Vayigra Av Bari. Okay, it says there was a hunger in the land. Which land? In Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, in Canaan. As a matter of fact, Rashi says, "Ba'osa oretz levada." There was a hunger only in that land. And Rashi says, interesting Rashi, he says, "Lenasoso," to test Avram. "Im yehaher achar dvarav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu." If he'll question the things of the words of God. At first he told him to go to Eretz Canaan, and now he causes a hunger, Dafken Canaan, nowhere else, and he causes him to leave Canaan. You see? What kind of a test is that? It's an interesting, very interesting Chazal. What is the Pshat in the Chazal? The Pshat in Chazal is like this, that a person by nature is very prone to one philosophical error. That philosophical error is that he feels he knows what the plan of God is. You see? Something happens, he has this feeling, comfortable feeling, that he knows what God is doing. See? This pasuk teaches you that this is that was in the sign of Avram. Because first God told him to go down to Canaan. He went to Canaan. It would seem this is the place to be. Suddenly, the place where it tells him to go, there's a hunger, bedafka, in that place. Nowhere else, just in that place, and he has to leave. It seems this is contrary to God's plan. Doesn't fit in with what he understood as God's plan should be. So, that was the Nisayan. The Nisayan was to test him to see whether he thinks in those terms. That's the way that most people in life think. They think they have a sense like that, that they can sort of sense this. Now things are going the way they should be going. I'm in line with God's will, and things are going fine, and that's it. That idea is absolute nonsense. No one can ever know what the... No, you can't anticipate God. You can't anticipate his action. So therefore, this was precisely the test. It's crazy. So we're going down here. Everything's fine. Now there's a rub. Terrible. Land is there. We have to leave. It became bad. It should be good. You see? On the contrary, the sign was that he should remove himself from that kind of an emotional relationship with God. That was the purpose of the sign. Okay.
No. On gracious tests. Chof. ויאכל נוח איש אדמה ויד הקור, right? ויש מנהיה ויש קור, ויש מנהיה ויש קור, ויש גל בסוך העולם. right? And it says Vayachom Avichanan Eis Ervas Ovid Vayaged Lishnei Echav Bachutz. And so the plain shot is that he saw that he was naked, right? And he told his brothers. Chum.
Chum.
Saw his father, saw Noach was naked, and he told his brothers. But Chazal say no. Chazal say, Vayaris Ervas Avir, Rashi says, Yesh Omrim Sirso, Vayesh Omrim Rival. Okay, so some say that he castrated him. Some say that he had a sexual relationship with him. Machlokes. Okay, why do they say that? I mean, what's wrong with the clamp shot in the pasuk? What did Uncle say? Uncle doesn't say. V'chazacham avui dechanan yas er yisod avui chavei l'sfein achavidu. Uncle doesn't say. But why did Chazal say that? Why couldn't Chazal? What's wrong with just saying the plain shot in the pasuk? What's wrong with it?
Well, what's the big deal about saying father
naked? Yeah. Right. What's the big deal? Why does he have to tell? So what? He saw. So what? I mean, moreover, the real pasuk that shows that something occurred is a little later. Pasuk Chav Dalet. Vayiketz Noach miyeno. Vayeda Isa Sher Asala Benoaka. So you see that something happened there. I mean, how did he know? He just saw him. What's so terrible? Vayoma Ora Kanon. Right? So apparently something really happened over there. That's what you see. Chazal knew that it has to be something serious. So there's a machlekes here. It's a machlekes. Sirso Rivo. You see, there's one clue that you have here. The clue is that the Torah draws a contradistinction between Chum's actions and between Shev V'Yefes. And it goes, it elaborately details their procedure. Because V'Yigach Shev V'Yefes is Asumo V'Yasimo Shem Shneim V'Yelchu Acharanis V'Yachasu Eser V'Savim V'Neim Acharanis V'Yarasim Loro. See? Then that's why Noach also contrasted his statements with regard to each one. By Chum is Arkanon, and Baruch Hashem Elokeishem, the Yikanan Eved Lamo. Yafta Lekim Liefes, Yishkan Baal Hashem, Yikanan Eved Lamo. See? So Noach contrasted their actions. So there must be something, the secret of what Chazal is talking about must lie in the contrast also. You have a clue to go by. You see? I mean, the fact that he got drunk showed that he definitely was attached somewhat to the old society. And he was very depressed that he was alone in the world. So he got himself drunk that he could escape. It was escapism. But what is the Torah point to? What idea does Torah point to about the about Chum? The clue is like this. That he wouldn't do it to his father when he wasn't drunk. See? In other words, there was no real inherent respect for the gavra, the father, per se. It was just a certain fear. When the father was around, he had a certain fear. That he couldn't do anything. So he was afraid of him. But there was no inherent internal respect for the gavra, the father. Because you see, the moment the father was drunk, so he didn't have any presence of mind. So what Chum did was, he related to the father as a physical body. Now, one holds that he used him as Rashi seems to say that he used him as an object of his aggression. He utilized his body as an object of aggression because it was aggression. He didn't want to Rashi's was he didn't want any more siblings. So it was aggression. The other one holds that he utilizes his body as a sexual object. That's Riva. But it means that the moment that there was no real respect for the Gavra, the father. That's what it shows. And that's why the Torah contrasts Shem v'Yefes, says in the contrary, v'yeluchu acharanis, ufneim acharanis, v'eres avim l'ro. So it was really, there was a respect for the Gavra. By Chom, there was no respect for the Gavra. It was just a situation that he was under restraint as long as Noach was in charge. But basically, he could view his father's body either as a source of a physical taiva, or else as an object on which to unleash his aggression for his own purposes. Now these two things are really that they're really two instincts: the aggressive and the sexual. The only machlekes is which one was he involved with. It was either one of the two, really. See, machlekes like this in Chazal, I don't think necessarily has to be a machlekes. You have machlekes like this. What they're saying, each one mentions a ma'amar chada, what pligidi gemara says. Each one mentions a possibility. It's either one of these two things. We don't know what happened, but it has to be either way. He did something to his body, because it says, Vayeda Aces Raslo Benoah cut. So he did something to him physically. But the point is that, something was done to him. Something was done to him physically. It's obvious that the Torah is not disclosing the particular, but the Torah is telling us enough that something was done to him physically while he was in a state of nakedness and drunkenness. And it has something to do with his body, physically. So Chazal say that there's only two possibilities. Either it was the aggressive instinct that he unleashed, in which case he castrated him, or else it was the sexual instinct. He used his body as a source of sexual gratification. But the point is, in either event, there was no concept, no internal concept of kavod for the gavra of the father. It was just he was under the control of the father. When the father's around, as soon as the father's not around anymore, so he could use him for the most bestial and basic type of satisfaction. Use his body. There was no derech eretz for the gavra of Noach, really. See, so that's why the curse was eved avodim. Eved avodim is, what is an eved? See, an eved is a person who has no restraint. A person has to be restrained by others. Has to be constantly restrained by others. That's an eved. You don't give an eved an opportunity to decide for himself what to do. You have to keep him under control. He's an eved as a person who is under the control of somebody else. He doesn't have the right to be under his own control. Why? Because that was Chom. And Chom only as long as Noach was in control. He listened. But the moment he turned his back, because really, when he was drunk, what happened when he was drunk? It means the person's not there, temporarily abandoned, went away temporarily. So then you have to leave the person to his own control. But you see, the moment he was left to his own controls, Noach became the body of Noach, just became an object of his own desires. So therefore, that's why the curse was Avdus. Avdus means that these people have no right, a person who's an eved has no right to really decide for himself, because he has no self-restraint. He has to be under the restraint of others. That's basically what the pasuk is telling us. I mean, really, really, what do you see? You see that Chom really related totally on an id level. You know what I mean? In that it was, he never really, he was always basically on a totally unsublimated level. Right. Yeah. Unsublimated level. That was Chom. In other words, just pure instinct. Pure unadulterated instinct. It was always on the base instinctual level. Because that's really the actions that he did. The actions that Chazal portray are really basic instinctual things. Basic instinctual things in man. But the only thing is that a person has the capacity for sublimation, and he rises above this level. He functions above this level. Chum was functioning on the base level, and that's why he deserved to be in heaven. But it shows you the way, the description of how what he did shows that he was totally on an animalistic level, totally on the instinctual level. That's what that was the basis. That's basically what he was, and that's why he was. That's why he had to become an Evid. There was no sublimation of the instincts. The instincts were never taken into a higher form. Interesting. That was the curse. So the Medrash says that Chum became black because he had sex on the table. That's very good. But that shows you one thing. What does it show you? It shows you that he operated on the basic instinctual level. That's what it shows you. See, that's what it shows you. That was the difference in Chum and between Shem v'Yechis. He simply functioned on the base instinctual level. Pure instinct. The only thing is, when his father was around, so he had to restrain himself. But the moment he wasn't there, because he was drunk, so he was so instinctual that simply his father's body could be an object of his own desires. That was the curse. That was the level. That's what Chazal means. Question is, what is the curse? I mean, is the curse just would it have happened if Noach wouldn't say it? And if it would happen if Noach wouldn't say it, so then what do you have to say it for? And if it wouldn't happen if Noach wouldn't say it, in other words, if Noach actually caused it, so it would be hard to understand. I mean, what kind of a what is it? Is it a tefillah? I mean, what is it? What is this curse? What's the concept? What? What's remarkable, I mean, in the Chazal is you see how they knew what the underlying base instinctual instinct is. It's an amazing thing. Amazing. This is something which really wasn't discovered till recently. You know? Yeah. Till the advent of modern psychology. Amazing thing. We're talking about the way Chazal depict Chum. It's a different type of person. It's a person who really is devoid of sublimation and acts completely on the instinctual. Really animalistic, yeah. Really animalistic being. It could be, probably is, that it was a carryover from the Dharma Bible. So he was really in that society. We said in Dharma Bible that was society, the real Nefesh HaBahami. That's right. And he was really a carryover. No, he was saved because of his father. Getting back to the curse, I would say that the idea of a curse is that it's a pronouncement of what should be, what should happen to the person, according to the way we understand the person of justice. That's what the statement is. You know what I mean? In other words, he's defining what should take place, what should occur to that person according to the just system, according to reality. Now, it was a pronouncement. That's what he told him. He told him exactly what he deserves and what should happen to him according to his level. It happened that Noach was a great chacham, was mechaven to the truth. That's what happened.
So you're saying it didn't really...
I mean, it is possible also that by a tzaddik you find that God could bring something about, because it's out of curses, so God could bring something about that the curse should come true for the sake of the tzaddik. That's different. That's for the sake of the tzaddik. So that could be causative also. But the basic idea is that he's pronouncing what should take place. What should take place according to reality. Reality of the situation. In other words, what Noach was saying was a pronouncement of justice. What the reality and what the just situation should bring about. That's what he told them. The question was why it affects the future. The only thing that we could say about why it affects the future, it's expressed in terms of future generations, is because if a person doesn't do tshuva, so then these things are really, like we mentioned before, these things are ingrained in the personality, And it's not just that generation that suffers from it, but the next generation. In other words, one imperfection promotes another imperfection, perpetuates itself. So really, that's what expresses itself in the future generations. But in other words, the pronouncement was in terms of the way he is now. This is what's going to happen to him. That's the pronouncement. Of course, true is always possible.
The following is a second version of the same shir given a number of years later.
Okay. So the pasuk says, by Noah, that when he came out of the teva, it's in Tess.
Whoever's in charge.
Yitches. We're doing the incident with Noach and Chan. Okay, so it's in Bereishis Tess, Pasuk Chaf. Vayochal Noach Ish Adamo Vayit Akoram. Then he Vayesh Minayayim Vayishgar drank from the wine, became drunk, Vayizgal Basoch Olo. And he became naked in his tent. And that says Vayarchom Avichanan Eser Vasoviv. So he saw the nakedness of his father. And then it just says he told his two brothers outside. Then you don't know from the incident, nothing, just seems he saw him naked, he told his brothers. You don't understand why, he wanted to do anything himself, whatever. It says, Vayikach Shem Vayefes as a similar Vayesim al Shem Shneim Vayelcho Acharanis Vayechasu Eis Erva Saviyem Ufneim Acharanis Ve'erva Saviyem Lo Ro. So the Torah gives a vivid description of how the Shem and Yefes, how they went to cover over the nakedness of their father. Very, very. Vayelchu vayesim ashkram shneihem, vayelchu achoranis, vayechasu esevazvim, vofneim achoranis, vevazvim lo ro. Very vivid description about it, about the incident. Then it says, vayiketz noch miyeno, vayeda eis asheros lo b'no akad. So the Torah says that when he awoke from his wine, so he knew what his youngest son had done to him. There you see, for the first time, that something took place. Okay? Something took place, but the Torah wished not to reveal it. What it was, what exactly it was. But Chazal say what it was. Chazal say a machlokas. It's a machlokas. Chazal say that one holds sirso, that he castrated him. The Yeshomrim rivo, he had intercourse with him. It's machlokas. I'd just like to explain what exactly is the Maisa Avera, and also what the Onish was. Of course, it says, Vayeda Esa Sher Osolo Beno Akotin, so then it says, Vayomer Oru Kanan, cursed is Kanan, Eved Avodim Yilechav. And he said he made him into an Eved. And also, Vayomer Baruch Hashem Elokei Shem, Vichanan Eved Lomo. Yachtel Kimli Yefes, Vyushkom Baalishem, Vichanan Eved Lama. Okay. So he praised those two, and it shows you that there's a contradistinction between, the Torah is trying to point out a contradistinction between Shem and Yefes and between Cham. Okay. So I want to say it like this, that the, now what was the personality of Cham? See, the personality of Cham was that he would never do such a thing to his father. Ordinarily, he never did anything like that before. He had respect for his father, but there was one requirement for the respect. See, the respect was totally dependent upon the personality of his father, of Noach. See, what happened over here? What happened was, we one time mentioned about Noach. We said that Noach was a person who was a maimon v'ein a maimon, that he had a conflict in his nature. Intellectually, he understood the ideas, but emotionally, he had a hard time having his emotions follow his intellect. Okay, he wasn't, in other words, a tzaddik gomer. That's the status of a tzaddik shein a gomer. Okay, now you see, the truth of the matter is that you see the fact that. Two things. He didn't talk to the people.
during the time during 120 years. He didn't talk to the people. He couldn't get involved because we mentioned it wasn't that he was a rusher. He just couldn't get involved. He knew that if he gets involved, he's liable to be lost himself. And then you see also he got drunk afterwards, and that was part of his nature. Why did he get drunk? Because the truth of the matter is that emotionally he was tied into Dor HaMabel. He was tied into Dor HaMabel emotionally. And when he saw the destruction of the Dor HaMabel, it had an effect on him. He knew that what they were doing was awesome. No question about it. But nevertheless, when he saw they were destroyed for it, it sort of removed the possibility of his lingering emotions that were tied to their deeds. See, he had certain emotions that were tied to their action. He knew it was us. A person can know something's us, but emotionally he could still be tied to it. Now you see, what was the drunkenness? The drunkenness was he had no escape anymore. You see, he had no escape mentally because they were all destroyed, so that broke it. So consciously he had no more escape. But when he got drunk, Chazal says, "V'yizgal besoch oholo with the hay." It's oholo. It means his wife's tent. So you see that in the drunkenness was some kind of a release, you see, from the pressure of the total obliteration and removal of the way of life of the Dor HaMabel. So that's why actually he took along with him the Chazal say the churei gefanim. He took along. When he went on the Tevra, because he already knew it, he's going to have that release. The reason, that's why he got, the drunkenness was catering, giving a last refuge to those emotions that were tied to the way of life of the Dor HaMabel. That's why a person gets drunk. Why does a person get drunk? A person gets drunk because he wants to release certain emotions which in his conscious state he can't allow and he can't vent. So the drunkenness is a state of mind where he could give some satisfaction, last resort type of thing for those emotions. Well, consciously he can't do that. Is it? So Noach, that's why the nakedness was an indication of the reflected the way of life of the Dor HaMabel, those emotions that are tied to that type of a. He was a tzaddik, of course, but the escape valve he had to have, and that's why v'yizgal b'soch Allah in his wife's tent. Now, what happened was like this: that when Chum saw that, when Chum saw that in his father, so he ceased to be his father. He was only his father as long as the personality of the father was intact as a father. But the moment he became drunk and he catered to his lower emotions, by the way, the Raya is right from the Pusik. You see, he says, Vayochel Noach Ish Ha'adoma Vayitakar. What does it mean, Ish Ha'adoma? Ish Ha'adoma, because man is made from Ofer Min Ha'adoma Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim. The Nishmas Chayim reflects the Nishama, but the Adoma reflects the Nefesh HaBahami. So Vayochel Noach Ish Ha'adoma Vayitakar means he was catering to his Nefesh HaBahami. He wasn't a rusher. He was a tzaddik. But a tzaddik is a tzaddik with tzaddik shein gomar. He still had the pressure of the emotions they needed to release. That's why he got drunk. You see, the Torah doesn't really, and that's why actually he couldn't preach to the Dor HaMabel. He couldn't get involved with them. Because since part of him was tied emotionally to their way of life, he knew if he gets involved he's going to be lost himself. So he couldn't do it. Is it? So what happened to Chum was a type of personality that he had tremendous respect for his father, but he required the personality of the father, the gavra of the father, the personality of the father in order to maintain that respect. When he saw his father cater to his weakness, there was no more gavra of Noach. He was drunk, lying on the floor, naked. The gavra of Noach was gone. Then he treated him like an object. The moment the father was the gavra of the father was gone, the personality of the father was gone, he became another object to him. The only machlokus between Chazal was whether Sirso or whether Rivo is a question was what did he use him as an object? Did he use him to satisfy his sexual needs, sexual desires, which was actually from Dharmabha, because it says by Dharmabha, Mishka Zacha was rampant. Or it was a matter of greed. The reason why it was Sirsa was in order there shouldn't be any more people sharing in the in what they had. So it was a matter of, the question is, which emotion was evoked? On what emotion did he give vent to on his father? Was it the emotion of greed, or was it the emotion of sexual desire? That's the machlekes, Sirsa or Riva. Now that's why the Torah says that shame vayefes, it gives a vivid description, a contradistinction to chom, shame vayefes. So vayikach shame vayefes as a simla, vayisimach shem shneim, vayelchach, they walk backwards, vayachasu es ervas avim, ufneim acharanis ervas avim laro. It means they respected Noach for what he was as a personality, regardless of whether the personality is there or whether it's not there. There was an objective respect for their father. They had an objective respect for Noach. If a person only has only respect another individual because of the way they relate to their personality, the interrelationship, then the moment that the personality is gone, so he's just another object, you see. But if the respect of the person is based upon an objective evaluation of the individual, doesn't matter whether the personality is intact or not, he said. So what Noach said was that who should be, what is an eved? What person deserves to be an eved? The one who deserves to be an eved is an individual that has a reactive personality. Reactive personality should be an eved. Because a reactive personality is really not the full level of a human being. He's just a little bit higher. It's a sophisticated form of instinct. He's basically instinctual, but he's very sophisticated. His interrelationships his interrelationships cause him to raise his instincts to a higher level. But the moment there's no relationship, he can't react to another personality, then he becomes reduced to the level of a behemoth. That's a person that should be an eved. Such an individual deserves to be an eved. In contradistinction, Shem Vayefes, who, that's why he was Meshabech, and Baruch Hashem Lekeshem, Yichanan Eved Lomo, Yaftal Kim Liefes, Yishkin Bo Leshem, because they were individuals that had an objective recognition. It wasn't dependent upon reacting. It wasn't a reacting process, you see. It was based upon the objective recognition of what an individual was or is, and they lived according to that recognition. That's Adam. That's right. Okay. An addendum to the original point. I just want to mention that the fact that the Torah mentions this point, the fact that the Torah mentions the way Chom related to Noach is not just an incidental point in Chom. It happens to be a very prevalent feature in human relations. In other words, you see, for instance, in a hospital, a nurse will take good care of a patient when the patient's awake, when the patient's aware. If the patient becomes unconscious, she could treat him like an object. What's the difference? It's not just that the nurse is afraid of getting caught. It's the point is that the nurse reacts to the patient's personality. It's a reactive kind of relationship. When the person is unconscious, he's just an object, he's nothing. That most people relate to people, they just react. They operate on a reactive level. That's the level of chom. That's the level of an eved. Very few people have an objective kind of relationship with other people.
Howie Burstein asked the question. The question is that since the whole world started again with Noach, so how could the Rambam say that the degeneration that started before was carried on past Noach? I mean, that should have been wiped out and now start over fresh. So the answer is that since we're dealing with a world of the emotions, so the Rambam mentions that only a few Yechidim recognized God. That was Noach and Shem, and Hanoch, he says, right? And Aver. So really, Yefes and Chom were influenced by the emotions of the B'nai Enosh. They were overpowered by those base emotions. So that's why they continued the degenerative process after Noah.